Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it.
Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. Last week, the Ontario government announced its plans to strengthen the bail system to protect communities from violent criminals. It wants to focus on preventing repeat and violent offenders from committing further crimes while on bail. That is something Cobourg Police Chief Paul Vandegraaff has called for over many years, along with many other police chiefs from across the province and the country. In this interview, the chief will reiterate his concerns, but he will go one step further, calling for an expansion of the review to include many more crimes. He hopes an expanded review will do a better job of keeping repeat offenders off Cobourg streets. He will also respond to a recent report from Stats Canada. It says crime rates are higher in rural areas compared to urban centers. Just so you know, the report says Ontario is not the same as other provinces. I'm so pleased to welcome back Cobourg Police Chief Paul Vandegraaff. Welcome back to Consider This Northumberland.
Thanks for having me once again, Rob.
The Ontario government announced it is strengthening bail to protect communities from criminals. Without getting into the details, because we will get to those in just a second, I want to know, what was your first reaction when you heard this announcement?
This has been something that the Ontario Association of Chiefs of Police, the Police Association of Ontario, and myself personally have been long campaigning for. So before we get too far along the way, and at the risk of being too political, I applaud the government's stance on this and their continued energies to be spent on really correcting what is a broken system.
I know this is a serious critique that you have of the system. Can you just tell us what has been your concerns over this period of time?
It's bail, and we understand what bail means. And again, I've been on this show and I've been quoted many times, different spaces. The biggest issue, quite frankly, is there doesn't ever appear to be any consequences for the continued disregard for a justice of the peaces or a judge's conditions. And that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about punishing folks before they're convicted. We're not talking about enhanced penalties. Well, no, what we're saying is, anybody in our community, anybody in our province or country who commits a crime is given an opportunity to have their voice heard in a court of law. Depending on the nature of the severity of the crime, they may or may not have bail. All we're saying is that if you're on bail and you're given that opportunity, then abide by the conditions. And that's simple. And my frustration rests when the officers, the frontline staff, do a ton of great work. They find folks who are blatantly disregarding the conditions that have been imposed by a court in this country, and they go through all of the administrative paperwork to get something before the courts, and they're just summarily pushed back on the street and sometimes with less conditions than they originally began.
The announcement does talk about a comprehensive review of the bail system. Does that help?
Yeah, so really we're focusing on violent offenders. And when we get to Cobourg, we have seen that with some of our more recent drug warrants and some of our more recent search warrants. We have seen people who from the Greater Toronto Area are on conditioned or on bail for violent offenses being arrested. What this is a comprehensive review. Yes, that's what we need, because property crime matters, quite frankly. And I get violent crime, and I'm not trying to say one's worse than the other. But if you have your house broken into in Cobourg, that is a significant event in your life and one that people won't quickly forget. And obviously, we want our officers to hold those folks accountable and the people to be accountable. And that comprehensive review is really going back not that far, because I haven't been doing this that long, to basically what my suggestion is, a reverse onus, is that you're given an opportunity to be released into the community with conditions. And then if you get arrested breaching those, then it's up to you to prove to the courts why you should get out. Now it just seems like it's automatic.
It sounds to me like you're looking for a redefinition of the word violent. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, I'm trying to reposition the police reforms as we talk today about rural crime, and we talk about the big city crime, and what this is really focused is on violent offenders. You've got to start. And that's where, when the government's decision and government's choice to say, hey, we're going to really start to have teams, specific bail court, crown attorney specifically assigned to violent offenses in bail courts, that's great. That last piece of that announcement is that comprehensive review of the strategy around bail. That is where I'm really hoping that everybody can dig in and look at property crime offenses and habitual, concerted, what we call those erratic offenders who just constantly offend. Maybe lesser in the nature of the fine. Maybe it's a mischief, graffiti, I don't know, any of that lesser type stuff. But it does have impact on community.
How do you keep track of repeat offenders?
Well, it's been something that I've heard loud and clear in our community. And as to your point earlier, it's something that is something that I've been driving. So what we do is we created great internal systems. And I want to thank our team here locally in that. So you'll know probably for the last 6 board meetings now, we have our chief's report. And in the board report, I report the outcomes of our bail compliance unit. So what we have is a group of uniformed officers and a group of CIB who do some regular duty time. Like last night, for instance, there was 2 people arrested of breaching their bail violations yesterday in one 24-hour period, held for bail again this morning. But we do some overtime dollars. We use some regular dollars. We do shift reassignments. And they work with our crime analyst, and they just drive through what's important. But what I really want to say is it's the really good officers, it's the frontline officers who know who those offenders are in our community. And that's pretty remarkable. There is some great technology coming down the way. Again, a big kudos to the Ontario government for funding the bail dashboard. So we will we're just in the process of going through the security pieces for that. We'll have a provincial dashboard available on all of our officers in onboard computers and their cruisers, because we only know who we know. Now we're going to see who's maybe on conditions from Kingston or Peterborough or Lindsay, who now are residing in Coburn.
What are the reasons the police are given when a repeat offender is let back out?
We don't usually get into the reasons in debates. I tend to tell my folk when my folk are frustrated or some ire arises, I kind of recognize that the justice system is a multi-cog wheel that goes very slowly forward. And at times we hear there's another surety. There's somebody else who's come forward, who's put up a non-secured promise to pay should somebody breach their conditions. Or quite frankly, they just give them another opportunity. And the two sides of the argument are they don't want folks doing what we call pre-custody time. In other words, time before they've been proven guilty. And I get that. And I understand that. But there is a balance. And I think the balance has been missed.
You mentioned earlier in our conversation something called the Bail Compliance and Warden Apprehension Grant. It's $24 million, and they've been giving it out over the last 3 years. Have you ever applied for that and received any monies for that purpose?
No, we access different grants for different purposes. That is a particular grant, and in all the provincial grants, again, you have to recognize that. There are all sorts of grants. We're very fortunate here in the province. This one just isn't applicable for the service our size.
Now, the government talks about the intensive, serious, violent crime bail teams. I think you also alluded to this earlier when you were talking. Can you explain a little more detail your understanding of this and how it may affect the relationship between the Crown Attorney and the Coburg Police?
Yeah, again, a little bit of knowledge here, so I'll prompt it by saying I don't have a full scope of what this is, but what I understand it to be is that sometimes when we look at our local Crown Attorney's office and the local courts, it's just the amount of work, right? There's only so many folks, and we are seeing an increase in the amount of cases going through courts. So my understanding is that these are provincially coordinated teams who have a true understanding of what bail violent crime looks like. And they're the ones that are going to actually help us or the Crown locally actually get the case effectively in front of a bail hearing, in front of a judge, potentially a justice of the peace, to be heard such that all of the cases are being delivered in Ontario in the same standardized fashion so that the justices of the peace can make justified decisions based on the same set of circumstances.
Because of this announcement, and you were mentioning earlier two police associations that you belong to that are lobbying for this, is this an opportunity for your associations and you personally to knuckle down on getting this expanded comprehensive review down to other crimes that you know affect people in Cobourg more often?
Yeah, again, it's really interesting working in a policing environment. Policing reform doesn't come easy, but what we do know with this government is when the police associations who represent the men and women of the services, both sworn and civilian, and chiefs come together with a similar cause, we tend to get governments here, and that's what's happened exactly here. So I'm really hoping that the PAO continues to leverage their authority and their advocacy with the government, as does the OECP, to try to really look at what bail looks like and how it can be fair to all concerned. Again, we are a bit in this mess because of the disproportional amount of racialized and Indigenous folks who were held in custody with pre-custodial sentences, and that isn't right either. So I'm really hoping this review balances both of those, but also recognizes the need to keep communities safe. The issue of what it costs for someone to do pre-custody time, I have to hearken back to, you know what, public safety isn't cheap.
I'd like to talk about something that's related to this. Stats Canada has released a report last week saying crime rates in rural areas are a third higher than in urban areas. Now, it also acknowledges that there are many factors that influence crime rates. It also, the report says that Ontario rural crime rates are actually lower than in urban crime rates. From your perspective, what do you see going on in Cobourg?
What I'll say is Cobourg is a microcosm of what's happening across Canada. We are seeing an increase in violent crime. We are seeing an increase in crime rates. Clearance rates in Cobourg, unfortunately, are not keeping up. We need to be better. That's something that you'll see at our annual report, where we're continually looking at. It's fine to say there are more crime, but is there more crime and are we doing a better job of solving those crimes? And that's an area for us to improve. And there's another whole show that we can talk about clearance rates, Rob. But the issue between rural and urban is really unique in the way Stats Canada delivers their statistics. And for instance, it's not a pure numbers-to-numbers game. Certain high profile of murders, homicides, those kind of things, they're weighted much higher than say, a fraud. So when you have a homicide in a community our size, that really skews our crime severity index, our CSI, and kind of wrongly so. So if we had a homicide, those are tragic circumstances for all involved, but it really skews our numbers. Sexual assaults as well. Again, in my previous life, we had a institutional school, Sir James Whitney School for the Deaf, and we had an upswing in the amount of historical sexual assaults, which kind of threw our crime severity out of whack. And it really had nothing to do with the day and time. These offenses went back to the 70s and 80s. The crime severity index is an indicator to us. It's something that we look at. And I always look at it comparatively to other communities and say, what's happening in our town? And that's why I tend to drift more into clearance rates than the actual index itself.
Well, that's really interesting that you mentioned that, because in 2023, Cobourg saw nearly a 20% increase in violent crime, according to the Crime Severity Index. So, I mean, that puts a number to the things you've just been talking about. But this whole idea of measurement, I mean, are we splitting hairs here? I know you don't want to get into it too deep because it's complex, but can you at least give us a better understanding of what you're measuring against what they're measuring, how that reflects to the community so people can better understand what's going on rather than just saying he's trying to sweep it under the rug?
Yeah, so I don't own a broom. I've never owned a broom, so I don't sweep anything. I stand in front of the fact. The fact is our town is experiencing a upswing in calls for service that have gone up in double-digit percentage increases for many, many years. And the budget has gone up as well, but the amount of staffing that we have, we've just kind of now in our last budget right-sized so that we have the right amount of people who can really affect change here on this. So that's the first step. Secondly, we have to be better in how we do our investigative processes. That's internally, that's something that we need to do. Our break and enter solvency rate. So when I measure the amount of break and enters in our community, I'm always tempered with not measuring like this week to last week or this month to last month, even this quarter to last. I'd want to see it over a 2-year or 3-year cycle. Some say a 5-year cycle is the only thing reasonable to do, but I think that's too long for a community our size because it really can show us what the trends are. I can tell you, our town has encountered what we all know is the county seat and the property crime. So that mischiefs, thefts, property damage is much higher than probably other communities. And there's a lot of factors that go into that. What I look at is what are our response times? Are we responding to crimes in an appropriate time and fashion? I believe we are. Are we clearing the right amount of crimes? In other words, are we solving them? Not necessarily going to court. Sometimes the solvency is not, the victim themselves may say, I don't want to go to court. I'm just happy these folks are accountable for what they've done. So that's a solved case. That's where I really want our teams to start focusing on. And that's why we launched the bail compliance team, because we really believe there is a small percentage of chaotic folk in our community causing most of this kind of low-level property crime and grief. And we're focusing our attention on those chaotic people, and we would hope to see some positive change.
When you were answering my question, you mentioned the county seat. Can you explain what you meant by that and what you were talking about, please?
Yeah, so Coburg is in Northumberland County. It was what we call the county seat. We know that is that the county building resides within a municipality. We know that the bulk of services, the hospital, the court, exist in Coburg. We know that resources forecast and those types of things reside in Coburg. So for wherever you are in Northumberland County, when you're accessing service, when you're accessing social service, or you're accessing the criminal justice system, you land in Coburg. So from that, we know that our daytime population, it goes up. We know the amount of people coming to Coburg to do business, to what I always kind of jokingly say, eat, pray, and play, goes up. So for that, we then obviously would have an increase in the amount of crime. And it's not directly related to that, but it is something that is definitely resounding across rural Ontario when you look at the county seats. So different communities are the same. So down in the very east end, I would suggest that Cornwall would be the county seat for Stormont, Dundas, Glengarry, in that area.
Since the closure of the encampment in the East End, is there any noticeable shift in crime rate?
Yeah, the numbers haven't changed. The location has kind of moved, right? So what we don't have is the amount of calls for service in the same amount of calls for service in relation to people threatening, harassing, the sort of social disorder types of calls. They seem to have decreased, but we do know now that the warmer weather is upon us, we are starting to encounter small encampments across town. So we won't know until a full year after the encampment has been closed, and then these little pockets have reemerged as to what it will look like again. That is very cautiously measuring today to tomorrow, where we want to measure year to year.
Has there been any shift caused by the opening of 310 Division Street?
310 Division centralizes a group of people. Again, as I talked to you about, where does one go for emergent shelter, transit shelter, or resources, or that wraparound? Well, they're going to 310 Division Street. So yes, so a lot of the localized behaviors that exist with this acute population do occur around 310 Division. I will give kudos to the county and that they do have their liaison committee. And I know they are doing a current survey of the businesses in that direct 500 meter or whatever kilometer meter radius. We have our people embedded in that space. We also have our people embedded in a citizens group just to try to keep track of what it is. It's not easy. No community in Ontario is immune for this. As anecdotal as it is, we were had a group of chiefs from small and medium-sized services. We get together twice a year. We had a small meeting here earlier last week, and a bulk of them in the evening and the afternoon took the opportunity to stroll our downtown and to stroll our boardwalks and our beachfront. And I heard from almost every one of them, it almost looks like we're immune from what's happening across Ontario. I took that as probably one of the most salient points for our two-day meeting.
You've talked about a number of initiatives and positive things that are happening in the community, but underlying all of this, do you have the tools and the resources you need to address this local reality?
You know what? I want to thank, I have to start by thanking the Police Services Board. They really tackled a very difficult budget last year, and it started 2 years ago with the new act, the new Community Safety and Policing Act, with higher obligations for us to meet to remain adequate and effective by provincial standards, which is a good thing. We began to upsize our service. I'm really, really happy now that the board has given us that length. We've been able to hire people. We're continuing to hire people over the course of this year. So we'll really start to see those people who are returning from the police college or the experienced officers embedded on platoons, which will allow us to start to do things that for a while we haven't been able to do, and some of the stuff in the schools and things. So I'm really excited and supportive that a council and the board have saw and understood this. This has been a bit of a trend that went across the province. If you looked at police budgets over the last couple of years, we probably have one more right-sized budget coming. Just to get a few things on place, but we've got the people now, so we're talking about a drone project. We're talking with some officers being trained as drone pilots, and that's going to be added safety enhancement of crime. Increased CCTV cameras. Our CCTV program is going to be enhanced with provincial grant funding that we've just received. We're just finalizing our next big community safety policing grant, which is a big grant that the government puts out every year. And that's going to see an integrated crime unit with Port Hope Police Service and the Ontario Provincial Police. So we're really excited to see these types of things unfold, because now we have the people power to really drive this machine forward.
In the past, you and I have talked about the importance of service agreements in order to meet the standards that the Ontario government has set down. And you're talking about all these new initiatives. Have you been successful in signing any service agreements to ensure that you're going to meet the standards?
Yeah, so those are Section 14 agreements. We are, like everybody, we're just getting used to this new reality that is the CSPA. So we're really excited. We will probably be signing a Section 14 agreement with Port Hope and Kawartha-Lick Police Service for cybercrime at a high level. Just an agreement that one member of the three police services will be a cybercrime expert, and they're going to lead our three services forward with the assistance of Peterborough and some of their labs and that kind of work on the computer forensics. So that's a really cool thing. We're really early stages on a canine unit, where we're going to look at a Section 14 have a canine unit here funded in Cobourg that will be partnered with the Belleville Police Service. So we're in the early stages of that. Obviously, that CSP grant I just spoke about with this integrated crime unit with Port Hope Police Service is going to require a robust Section 14 agreement. So the act itself is definitely a beast and trying to meet all those requirements. But again, at the 5 years from now, those outcomes, the positive outcomes of those Section 14 agreements will be seen across the province.
When do you hope to sign your first one?
In the next 2 months, I would think. We're just kind of nailing those things, just kind of finishing it all off. We are waiting for the Ontario Provincial Police. They are hoping to land their Section 14 agreements for the entire province. So we're kind of waiting for what formatting looks like. So we want to see that there is a consistency in that a Section 14 agreement looks like this. So we're already working together very closely with Port Hope in many circumstances. And these agreements, once we get a template, if you will, or a standardized format in the province, then you'll see them all roll out.
You've given us a lot of information today, and some of it's very positive. I wonder, are you going to be holding any more public meetings, or do you feel that the situation is such that it's not needed?
Yeah, so the big town halls that we've done traditionally are something that it has value at the right time in the right space. and they're very spontaneous. In other words, when they occur, they occur. I think we're going to be rolling out a summer series. We're going to be rolling out a few smaller type events. We had one at the library, which I felt was a little bit meaningful, more meaningful than a room of 300 people, in that I think a lot of voices don't get heard. So for the rest of this year, we're going to be looking at a few, I believe, smaller versions of that. And we are also, and the board is also entering into its draft planning. So we're going to have some town hall type meetings to talk about the strategic plan creation.
Chief, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thanks again, Rob. Always a pleasure.
That was Cobourg Police Chief Paul Vandegraaff. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.